Anna Ale posiba. Gauranga Gauro Nidhi Kotha Jale Pabo Gauranga Gauro Nidhi Kotha Jale Pabo Shabashangira Sange Jekoila Bala Shabashangira Sange ये कौन ना ये संगल पाया कांदे मेरा समाजा Sambhana paya kande narottamata Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha, Shyama Sundara, Shyama Sundara Radhe.
Hare Krishna. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kata Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Cha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarane Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Vinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायके कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So, today is the disappearance day, anniversary of three of our great acharyas, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Raghunath Bhakt Goswami, and Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. This morning in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, we already heard about the glories of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. So this evening we will try to speak a few words about the glories of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and also Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Hearing about these great souls is a very essential part of our Krishna consciousness because it teaches us how Krishna consciousness comes alive, how it is practiced at the highest stages. By studying the lives of these great devotees and about their thoughts and works, we actually come to know what it means to be a real Vaishnava, a real devotee. Being a devotee is not an ordinary thing. It's not simply a matter of externals, of wearing a certain kind of dress, of wearing kanti mala and tilak and carrying a bead bag. It is not even a matter of simply externally going through the motions of our devotional service like chanting our rounds or going for Mangal Arati or fasting on Ekadashi or whatever. Vaishnavism is very, very deep, and as the Shastras say, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena gatah sapantha, that the greatest truths of life, the greatest truths of Krishna consciousness reside within the hearts of the great souls. And by following in their footsteps, we can also begin to get a glimpse of what real devotion is all about. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was one of the six Goswamis. As you are all aware, the six Goswamis have a very, very important role to play in our movement and indeed in the development of Vrindavan, because without the six Goswamis today, Vrindavan would not have existed in the way that we know it today. It was the six Goswamis who came here on the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to excavate the lost places of Lord Krishna's pastimes, to establish temples and places of worship for the deities of Lord Krishna, to write extensively sublime literatures explaining the philosophy and practice of Krishna consciousness, and to preach. So Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was a long time associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As with the other Goswamis and the other intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was also an eternal associate of the Lord. Whenever the Lord descends into this world, he doesn't come alone. He comes along with his associates, who are very intimate to him in the spiritual world. Just like Rupa Manjari was, Rupa Manjari appeared here as Rupa Goswami. Similarly, we hear in our scriptures that Raghunath Bhatt Goswami in Krishna Leela is a manjari called Rag Manjari. As you know, a manjari is someone who is younger in age than the sakhis or the gopis, and these manjaris assist the gopis in their service to Srimati Radharani and Krishna. So this is a very, very exalted position, and Rag Manjari appeared here as the son of Tapan Mishra. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita also there is a description, and further there is a commentary of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We can understand that he appeared around 1503 and disappeared around 1580 AD. So he was about 77 years old when he departed from the external plane. He departed here in Brajabhumi. Being born in 1503 means that he was about 17 years younger than Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu appeared in 1486. When Mahaprabhu was still in his scholastic pastime phase as a scholar of grammar, somewhat impudent and proud, he was traveling everywhere as a new householder to gather some Lakshmi, some income for his house. His wife was Lakshmi Devi at that time, of course. So he had Lakshmi in the house. But nevertheless, he was going through the external motions of a householder. So he had to go out and earn some money. So as a Brahmin, he didn't go out and set up shop. He didn't start a software company or something. He went out to teach grammar and to teach Sanskrit and to teach various other things connected with his scholastic pursuits. And this time he went to East Bengal, or what is presently known as Bangladesh. And when he was there, by his own divine arrangement, he met an exalted devotee of Lord Krishna, who was also his own intimate associate, but who had appeared in this way in East Bengal, and his name was Tapan Mishra. Now Tapan Mishra was a great scholar also of the scriptures. Having read many of the scriptures very scrutinizingly, unfortunately he was unable to come to any firm conclusion about their real import. What was the bottom line of all these scriptures? What was the conclusion? Tapan Mishra was a little confused about what the goal of life was, and he was really seeking an answer. And then one night he had a dream in which a young Brahmana appeared to him and told him that you go and meet Nimai Pandit, who has just arrived in your country. Go and meet him and you will get all the answers. So it just so happened that Nimai Pandit had arrived in the same town. So as soon as he awakened, being astonished, Tapan Mishra went to meet Nimai Pandit and revealed his dream. At that time Nimai Pandit explained to him the purpose of life. He said the purpose of life is to chant the holy name of the Lord, and the means to attain that end is also to chant the holy names of the Lord. So he said the Harinam Sankirtan process is the means as well as the end. This is an important point. There are two things. One is the means, that in Sanskrit is called the sadhan, and the other is the end or the goal or the objective which in Sanskrit is called sadhya. So we perform the sadhana to get the sadhya. Like a student performs his studies in a college or school so that eventually he can pass the exam and get a degree or something like that, or to become an educated person and for various purposes. So the studies are his goal, or are his process, and the degree is his goal. So like this we can give many examples. But in Krishna consciousness, The means and the goal are one and the same. The moment someone is introduced to Krishna consciousness, he or she chants the holy name and continues chanting the holy name eternally thereafter. Even when one attains the stage of prema bhakti, the highest stage of love of God, one doesn't stop chanting. On the contrary, that very same activity of chanting now becomes perfect. It reaches its perfect fulfillment. It reaches its highest stage of purity and devotion and love. So this great truth was revealed for the first time by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We need to remember that Mahaprabhu had not yet revealed his devotional pastimes. And he told Tapan Mishra not to tell anyone about this. Yet, the time was yet to come when Mahaprabhu would exhibit his pastimes as a devotee. Presently he was only sporting as a scholar of grammar. But he had a special mission for Tapan Mishra. So he told him alone, but he did not tell it to anybody else, or at least there is no record of him having told anybody else about this at this point in time. And then Tapan Mishra was so overwhelmed that he wanted to come with Nimai Pandit to Navadvip. But Nimai Pandit says, no, you go ahead to Varanasi, Kashi, Banaras, and I will meet you there many years later. So just see, here was Tapan Mishra, completely surrendered, wanting to come really badly to associate with Mahaprabhu and live in Navadvip. He was a scholarly Brahmin. It would have been very appropriate for him to have come to Navadvip. But nevertheless, for some inconceivable reason, Mahaprabhu told him, no, you go to, of all places, Varanasi. Varanasi is the headquarters of the Mayavadis. It's a capital city. That is where you will find the greatest concentration of Mayavadis. And in any case, if you ever know some devotees who are particularly quarrelsome by nature, so if they like to quarrel with devotees, you can tell them, you go to Varanasi and use your fighting propensities there. Fight with all the Mayavadis and prove that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, rather than quarreling with devotees. So in any case, he was sent to Varanasi. Tapan Mishra did not know anyone there. He was going to the headquarters of Mayavad. Here he was, having discovered Krishna consciousness as the ultimate goal of life, having personally received good instruction from the Supreme Lord Himself, and he was told to go to Varanasi. Such are the inconceivable pastimes of Mahaprabhu. So obediently Tapan Mishra left, and he went there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in due course of time exhibited his devotional pastimes. After a few years, at the age of 24, Mahaprabhu took sannyas. When he went to East Bengal, he must have been perhaps 16 years of age or less, maybe even lesser. But he was very precocious, very prodigal. And even though he was just a young boy, practically a teenager, but he could defeat great scholars of renown because of his genius. So Mahaprabhu took sannyas after 8 years, and then he went to Jagannath Puri. In the meanwhile, Tapan Mishra had already gone and settled down in Jagannath Puri. And there, it appears, Raghunath Bhatta was born to him. Now it doesn't seem likely that Raghunath Bhatta was born in Bengal, because the description is that when Mahaprabhu reached Varanasi, Raghunath Bhatta was only a small boy. So we can reasonably conclude that he was born in Varanasi, or at least if he was not born there, he came there at a very, very young age. Mahaprabhu, after he reached Puri, wanted to go to Vrindavan, and the first time after sannyas, he was misled by Nityananda Prabhu and taken to the house of Advaita Acharya. The second time, instead of going to Vrindavan, he was somehow drawn to Ramakeli, and there he blessed Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. And finally, on the third occasion, he did make it to Vrindavan. And on the way back, he stopped at Prayag. He instructed Rupa Goswami there for 10 days. And then he moved on towards Varanasi. At Varanasi, he delivered many of the Mayavadis. And Mahaprabhu was there, living in the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. In Varanasi particularly, it is mentioned that Mahaprabhu had three devotees. One was Chandrasekhar, in whose house he stayed. The second was Tapan Mishra, in whose house he ate every day. It's curious because he lived in Chandrasekhar's house, but he ate in Tapan Mishra's house every day. And Tapan Mishra's son, Raghunath Bhatta, he served as a young boy, he served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very diligently, very sincerely. When Mahaprabhu would finish his prasadam, then Raghunath Bhatta would come and clean up the place. Then when Mahaprabhu was tired, he would massage his lotus feet. In this way he rendered many forms of intimate service to the Lord, even as a young boy. And he received tremendous blessings. Mahaprabhu stayed in Varanasi for 2 months. So we can understand that young Raghunath Bhatta received a lot of mercy from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Mahaprabhu left for Puri, Raghunath Bhatta had become very attached to him and he wanted to get his association. So after some time, he left Varanasi to go to Puri. He reached Puri and he stayed there, it is said, for 8 months in the association of Mahaprabhu. On the way from Varanasi, he walked through Bengal. And from Bengal, he was accompanied by one gentleman called Ramdas Vishwas. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains that this Ramdas Vishwas was from the Kayastha, or the lower caste, not a Brahmin at least. And he was very wealthy and very influential, and he was a confidential assistant of the king of Bengal. And he also was on his journey to go to Jagannath Puri. So this time Raghunath Bhatta had a servant with him to carry some luggage, and the two of them were walking, and Ramdas Vishwas also joined in. And because he saw here is a young effulgent Brahmin, he felt inspired to serve him. So he rendered all kinds of menial services to Raghunath Bhatta, much to Raghunath Bhatta's embarrassment. In fact, he would constantly try to serve him in so many ways, like he would massage his feet, he would serve him prasadam, sometimes he would want to carry his luggage. And when Raghunath Bhatta would protest, he said, no, you are an exalted Brahmana and I am a Shudra, so it is my duty to serve you. Raghunath Bhatta noticed that not only was this gentleman very, very humble, but he also constantly chanted the names of Lord Ram all through the journey. And Raghunath Bhatta was impressed and he was thinking, this is such a wonderful devotee. Finally, the two of them reached Jagannath Puri. Immediately, Raghunath went to see Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was overjoyed to see him. As Raghunath Bhatta offered his obeisances, Mahaprabhu lifted him and personally embraced him. And he welcomed him, he introduced him to Swarup Damodar and the other Vaishnavas. He gave instructions to his associates to find a suitable accommodation for him. In Puri, Raghunath Bhatta stayed for 8 months. And he got a lot of intimate service to do for Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Bhatta was an excellent cook. And especially he could cook various varieties of vegetables. And Mahaprabhu loved it. Mahaprabhu greatly appreciated his devotional mood in cooking. So this is an important point for all of us to note as devotees, that it is not our material or technical expertise in cooking that pleases the Lord, or in any other service actually, but it is our mood of devotion that actually attracts and pleases the Lord. So we may not be equipped with so many skills. That depends on our karma. Somebody has so many skills and somebody doesn't have so many skills. Somebody is skilled in one thing, somebody in another thing. So that is something material. It has come from our past karma. So whatever skills we have or don't have, we should try to serve Krishna to the best of our ability with all the devotion and sincerity at our disposal. And that is what Krishna will appreciate. Even if we are not skilled in a particular activity, but if we try our best with all devotion and sincerity, Krishna will be pleased. So Raghunath Das Goswami's mood was exemplary, and he was also a very skilled cook. So Mahaprabhu ate often the prasadam or the bhoga that was cooked by Raghunath Das Goswami. Now, in spite of getting so much association of Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Bhatta was wondering, why is it that my companion Ramdas Vishwas did not get any such mercy? And at one point Mahaprabhu then told him, he said, you know this Ramdas Vishwas, he chants the names of Lord Ram, externally he appears to be a great devotee, but actually latently he is an impersonalist. In his mind he harbors a desire to want to merge into the impersonal Brahman. And also, he has some pride about his own learning of the scriptures. So Raghunath Bhatta was astonished. Because Mahaprabhu is none other than the Supreme Lord, he could easily understand what was going on in Ramdas Vishwas's heart. Which goes to show that external appearances can be deceptive. Even if someone is constantly chanting the holy name, if someone externally appears very humble, but still it could be opposite, as in the case of Ramdas Vishwas. In any case, Mahaprabhu continued to give a lot of mercy and association to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And actually he gave him some instructions there. He said that you should go back to Varanasi and serve your parents, who are very old now, and you should not leave them in their old age because they are also very exalted Vaishnavas. So go and serve them and be with them till they leave this world. You may again come to see me in Puri. And yes, while you are serving your parents, do not get married. Remain a brahmachari. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally gifted to Raghunath Das Goswami his own neck beads. Raghunath Das Goswami was overwhelmed with the kindness and mercy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showering upon him. When 8 months were over, with a heavy heart, he left back to go to Varanasi. He stayed with his parents, served them nicely for 4 years. After that period, his parents departed for the spiritual world. In this duration of 4 years, Raghunath Bhatta studied Srimad Bhagavatam under some Vaishnavas in Varanasi. He became a great scholar. He already was very learned actually, but he became even more learned, and he would recite the Srimad Bhagavatam in many, many wonderful ways. It is said that he had a voice that was as sweet as that of a cuckoo, and it was extremely attractive. After his parents departed from this world, Raghunath Bhatta went back to Puri, and this time he was there with Mahaprabhu again for a period of 8 months. And Kaviraj Goswami describes the instructions that Mahaprabhu gave him and what happened during this period. This is from the Ankya Leela, chapter 13. Of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Mahaprabhu lived with him I get Raghunath Bhatta lived with Mahaprabhu in Varanasi. And then Mahaprabhu said, Amaragyai Raghunath Jaha Vrindavane Taha Jana Raha Rupa Sanatana Sthane. My dear Raghunath, on my order, go to Vrindavan. Raghunath, Amar Agyai Jaha Vrindavane. On my order, you go to Vrindavan. Taha Jana Raha Rupa Sanatana Sthane. And when you go to Vrindavan, don't go here and there, but you go and stay in the association of Rup and Sanatan Goswamis only. So like that, devotees of ISKCON, when they come to Vrindavan, they should come with blessings. Should not independently come, just like that. You should come with the blessings of the devotees, with the blessings of the superiors. And then, having come here, one should associate with devotees of ISKCON. One should stay here in the shelter and the protection of Krishna Balaram Mandir and not get distracted by so many other things going around in Vrindavan on the external platform outside. This was very, very clearly Srila Prabhupada's desire. And many, many times he has expressed this. He has mentioned how devotees should come here and remain in a mood of service to Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar and Sri Sri Gaur Nithai. This is where Srila Prabhupada lived. This is where Srila Prabhupada departed from this world. And this is where his Samadhi is, the only one in the world, the original full body Samadhi. And on many occasions Srila Prabhupada told his disciples and the devotees that they should come here in a mood of service. That Vrindavan is meant to be served, it is not meant to be enjoyed. Yes, in the process of service we also enjoy. So Mahaprabhu was very clear in his instructions to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. In order to save time, because we also have to talk about Krishnadas Kaviraj, I will just read the translation of the verses by Srila Prabhupada. So Mahaprabhu continued, in Vrindavan, you should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 24 hours a day, not 23. And read Srimad Bhagavatam continuously, not only in the morning class from 8 to 9. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will very soon bestow His mercy upon you. After saying this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Raghunath Bhatta. And by the Lord's mercy, Raghunath was enlivened with ecstatic love for Krishna. At a festival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been given some unspiced betel and a garland of tulasi leaves 14 cubits long. The garland had been worn by Lord Jagannath. So this was Jagannath's Nirmalya, his Mahaprasadam garland and his Mahaprasadam tambul. The tambul of paan, usually when people eat it outside, they spice it with some intoxicating elements. But Kaviraj Goswami clearly says here that this particular tambul or paan or betel nut was unspiced with these intoxicating elements. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the garland and betel to Raghunath Bhatta, who accepted them as a worshipable deity and preserved them very carefully. Taking permission from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Bhatta then departed for Vrindavan. When he arrived there, he put himself under the care of Rup and Sanatan Goswamis. This is Krishna consciousness. One should place oneself under the care of Vaishnavas. There is no place for undue independence in Krishna consciousness. Yes, Prabhupada wanted everybody to be thoughtfully independent, but not, he wanted everyone to be independently thoughtful and also thoughtfully independent. Not unreservedly or unrestrictedly independent. As living entities, we do have some independence, very minute. But when we surrender to Krishna, then we really are under the subordination of the Guru Parampara and the Vaishnavas. This is the mood of Vrindavan, and we see that again and again when we study the lives of the Goswamis and the other Acharyas. So Raghunath Bhatta placed himself under the care of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. So it appears that probably in sequence he was the third Goswami of the six to come here. That's how it appears. Jiva must have come a little later, and Gopal Bhatta and Raghunath Das also were to come. Kaviraj Goswami goes on to explain. When reciting Srimad Bhagavatam in the company of Rupa and Sanatan, Raghunath Bhatta would be overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Krishna. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he experienced the symptoms of ecstatic love. Tears, trembling and faltering of the voice. His eyes filled with tears and his throat became choked, and thus he could not recite Srimad Bhagavatam. His voice was as sweet as a cuckoo's, and he would recite each verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam in three or four tunes. Thus his recitations were very sweet to hear. When he recited or heard about the beauty and sweetness of Krishna, he would be overwhelmed with ecstatic love and become oblivious to everything. Thus Raghunath Bhatta surrendered fully at the lotus feet of Lord Govinda, and those lotus feet became his life and soul. It is also mentioned elsewhere that when Raghunath Bhatta used to chant or recite the Srimad Bhagavatam, he would be crying so much tears of ecstasy that the book would become wet completely. You see, in those days there was no printing press, so the books were not available in the way that we see them today. They were written on manuscripts, on palm leaf manuscripts, and they were very painstakingly done. It wasn't an easy thing. So and even when there was some paper, like we see that Jiva Goswami, he petitioned Akbar, the king at that time, the king of India, to give some paper, because Akbar was so pleased with Jiva Goswami, he asked him, ask me for any gift. And Jiva Goswami asked him for paper. So it was such a rare commodity in those days. So there was paper, but it was handmade paper, very laboriously manufactured, and you had to do all kinds of things to make it. You had to beat the thing into a pulp, and then you had to step on it, because there were no electronic or electrical beaters, so they would have people stepping on the paper and so on. So it was very time consuming, and therefore on those papers things were written. So in any case, it wasn't an easy thing. So whenever he would read Srimad Bhagavatam, the tears that were constantly streaming from his eyes out of ecstatic love for Krishna would wet the pages so much that the script would get obliterated or deleted. This was the way he would get carried away with his chanting of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And everybody who came to hear him would just also similarly get overwhelmed, because his chanting was so sweet and so devotional, so melodious, that they just could not stop hearing him. Even Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, who were senior to him, would come and ask him to chant Bhagavatam. And Rupa and Sanatan, as his verse says, would sit there and hear him chanting Srimad Bhagavatam. This was Raghunath Bhatta. Subsequently, Raghunath Bhatta ordered his disciples to construct a temple for Govinda. He prepared various ornaments for Govinda, including a flute and shark-shaped earrings. There was a general, a Rajput general. The Rajputs are a certain community in Rajasthan who are Kshatriyas. And they actually are famous for their valor. And particularly in Krishna consciousness, they are famous because they protected the various original deities of Braj from the onslaught of the Mughal and Muslim marauders and the invaders. So Raja Man Singh was one such king, but he was a commander under Akbar. He actually became Akbar's assistant. And Raja Man Singh was also a Vaishnava. And It was he who was asked to construct, he offered actually to construct the temple of Radha Govinda. And it was a magnificent structure, many stories tall. It was the best structure in the whole region. And so wonderful that when Aurangzeb, Akbar's, what was he, grandson or great-grandson? His great-grandson, I think. When Akbar's great-grandson Aurangzeb had gone to Agra and he saw a lamp shining from a beautiful structure, he asked, "What is that building?" And he was told it is a temple of Lord Krishna, Radha Govinda Dev temple in Vrindavan. He ordered the temple demolished. So what the Radha Govinda temple that we see now in Vrindavan is only a small portion of what was originally constructed by Man Singh under the instructions of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami way back. But there are many stories that the Mughal soldiers started dying and they were not able to break more than a certain portion of it. Therefore, whatever is left behind was because Govinda Dev wanted it there to remain. But personally, Raghunath Bhatta made the ornaments for Govinda Dev, including the flute and so on. And here are some of the qualities of Raghunath Bhatta. Raghunath Bhatta would neither hear nor speak about anything of the material world. He would simply discuss Krishna and worship the Lord day and night. He would not listen to blasphemy of a Vaishnava, nor would he listen to talk of a Vaishnava's misbehavior. That means even in those days, there must have been instances of Vaishnava's misbehaving. So it didn't begin with ISKCON. There must have been so many instances at that time. He knew only that everyone was engaged in Krishna's service. He did not understand anything else. This is a perfect example of a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava. When Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was absorbed in the remembrance of Lord Krishna, he would take the tulsi garland and the prasadam of Lord Jagannath, given to him by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bind them together and wear them on his neck. Thus I have described the powerful mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by which Raghunath Bhatta Goswami remained constantly overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Krishna. So in this way, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami remained here. He performed many, many wonderful pastimes here with the other Goswamis. And his discourses in the Srimad Bhagavatam were so wonderful that it is described that even Brihaspati was longing to come here from the heavenly planets to hear them. Brihaspati is the guru of the demigods. Even the other demigods wanted to come, and personally Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedas, was very keen to come and hear Raghunath Bhatta Goswami reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam. Finally, in the year 1579 or 80, on this day, he departed. And actually, Jiva Goswami cremated his body. That means his body was burnt. Generally, for the Vaishnava Acharyas, and especially those who are sannyasis, the Vedic custom is to place the body in samadhi. For an ordinary person in Vedic culture, the body is burnt. But for a sannyasi or a self-realized soul, the body is placed in samadhi because the body is already considered to be pure. There is no need now to have any purificatory ceremony to separate the soul from the body or to remove any kind of impurity that may be there. But out of fear of the Muslims' invasion, Jiva Goswami cremated him. He burnt his body. Jiva Goswami thought that tomorrow if the Muslims come again and they dig up the grave and they desecrate everything, that would be such a tragedy. So in order to save that or avoid that situation, he actually cremated him. And then his ashes were placed in two samadhis. One was in Radha Kund, we have this one samadhi there, and the other is here in the 64 samadhi area in Vrindavan. So there is much more to say about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, but now it is time for us to talk a little bit about Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami ki jai. And the descriptions that we are reading about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami are courtesy Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, another extraordinary Vaishnava Acharya. As they say, they don't make them like that anymore. Such qualities and such extraordinary activities that these great souls have performed, which have been recorded. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is known for his extreme humility. So much so that although he talks about all the other Vaishnavas, he hardly ever talks about his own background except in one incident where he mentions why he came to Vrindavan in the first place. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that not much is known about his background, so much so that even his earlier name is not known. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was obviously his devotee name, but what his earlier name was is not known to historians, to historians of devotional culture. Some say his father's name was Bhagirath and mother's name was Sunanda, but it is not clear what caste they belonged to. Was he a Brahmana by birth? Was he a Kayastha by birth? Both options are possible, so say the scholars. The option for Brahmanas, the people say, well, it's logical because of such extreme scholarship that was exhibited by Chaitanya, by Kaviraj Goswami in writing his books like the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he must have been a Brahmana to have been so scholarly. And some others say that, you know, he has exhibited in the Chaitanya Charitamrita some soft spots for some, like in Raghunath Das Goswami's dealings with the Turkish governor or the tax collector on behalf of the Muslim king. He glorifies the Kayastha community. So some of the Vaishnava commentators have said that it's likely he could also have been a Kayastha. But regardless, for a Vaishnava, what does it matter? It doesn't matter whether one is a so-called Brahmin or a so-called Kayastha or a Shudra or anything. But the point is that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was a very, very exalted soul. He has his most famous book, Magnum Opus, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, for which he is most well known. But he is also well known for another book. Does anybody know? Govinda Lilamrita. Yes, it's a very, very esoteric book. Not for everybody to read, certainly. Very advanced. And that contains some very, very esoteric pastimes and realizations about Vrindavan and the pastimes of Vrindavan. So because of Govinda Lilamrita, Jiva Goswami gave him the title of Kaviraj. The word Kaviraj sometimes refers to a Vaidya or an Ayurvedic physician, and sometimes it refers to a great scholar who has penned a great work. So Jiva Goswami at that time was so happy with his composition. And at that time, Jiva Goswami was the leader of the Acharyas at Vrindavan. This was after Rupen Sanatan Goswami's had departed. And that in the assembly of Vaishnavas, he actually awarded him the title of Kaviraj. Then he became known as Krishnadas Kaviraj. Otherwise, he was just called Krishnadas. In some of his bhajans also, he says, Kohi Krishnadas. He only calls himself as Krishnadas. So Govinda Lilamrita is another good book, a very powerful book that he has written. And there is a third book which is not very well known, and that is a book called Saranga Rangada. It is a commentary on the Krishna Karanamrita, which is the most famous book that was read also by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu many, many times, which he found in his yatra to South India, and which he would love reciting from. That was written by Bilva Mangal Thakur. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote a commentary on that. That is his third book. But otherwise, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is definitely his most famous book. The pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are basically in two parts. One is called the Adi Leela and the other is called the Shesh Leela. Adi means beginning and Shesh means the end. So the Adi basically refers to the time when Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip, partly during his scholarship pastimes and partly when he actually exhibited his devotional pastimes. So till the age of 24 we have the Adi Leela, and from the age of 24 to the age of 48, which is when Mahaprabhu departed, the other half of his life is called Shesh Leela. Kaviraj Goswami has further divided the Shesh Leela into Madhya and Antya. So the first 6 years of the Shesh Leela from age of 24 to 30 are the Madhya Leela, and from thereafter it is the Antya Leela. So the Adi Leela of Mahaprabhu was recorded by Murari Gupta, the childhood friend and associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Vrindavan Das Thakur noted these narrations. Kaviraj Goswami was born sometime around 1520, and Vrindavan Das Thakur was born about 10 years earlier, maybe around 1510 or so. Vrindavan Das Thakur composed the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which was earlier known as the Chaitanya Mangal, when he was a relatively young man, perhaps in his 30s. And Kaviraj Goswami, who was born 10 years later, he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita in his old age, when he was really very old. So there was quite a time gap between the time the Chaitanya Bhagavat and the Chaitanya Charitamrita were written. So in the Chaitanya Bhagavat of Vrindavan Das Thakur, Vrindavan Das Thakur has drawn mostly from the narrations of Murari Gupta, and it covers mostly the childhood pastimes of Mahaprabhu. And then the Vaishnava commentators have explained that Vrindavan Das Thakur got so carried away after the childhood pastimes of Mahaprabhu in narrating Nityananda Prabhu's pastimes, that by the time he wound up with Nityananda Prabhu's pastimes, he realized that the book had already become too voluminous. So he said, I should not write anything more. I should just conclude. So thereafter, he dealt with the later pastimes only in very brief. Now, time elapsed. Kaviraj Goswami had come to Vrindavan. He was already an old man. Several decades had passed by now. And the devotees in Vrindavan were very anxious. Now, the only source of information we have is Lochan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Mangal and the Chaitanya Mangal of Vrindavan Das Thakur. In the beginning of Chaitanya Bhagavat or Chaitanya Mangal of Vrindavan Das Thakur, he has given a brief synopsis of the later pastimes. But he has not actually described those pastimes in detail. So what we have are only the synopsis of the later pastimes. So in course of time, we will all forget what those pastimes are. So these pastimes must be narrated, because Vrindavan Das Thakur has only done so in brief. And the reason he did that was because he feared that what if I leave my body? So at least let me write down something in brief, and then later when I come to the end, then I'll expand on those initial synopses. The same was done by Kaviraj Goswami, and interestingly by Prabhupada also. Kaviraj Goswami also, in his Adi Leela, has given a synopsis of the Antya Leela pastimes, fearing that he may not survive long enough to write the detailed Antya Leela pastimes. Fortunately, he did live long enough to write the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada, he began with the Bhagavad Gita, then he went on to the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he wrote the first canto, the second canto, and he was moving progressively on, but it was taking time. It was a very laborious process. to go to each verse, translate carefully every single word of the verse to make sure it's perfect, then write out the translation, go through the commentaries of the acharyas, one verse at a time, at a time, plus write his own realizations and expand on the acharyas' commentaries. It was really time consuming. It was taking up a lot of effort. Prabhupada was already in his 70s and he feared that what if I'm not able to reach the 10th canto, which is the culmination of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam? What if I don't live long enough to describe the Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna? That will be a great tragedy. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada suspended the translation work of the Srimad Bhagavatam for a short while, and he wrote his Krishna book, which was a summary of the 10th canto. And now he was at ease. So even if I leave my body now, at least I have given the 10th canto in summary, and everybody can still relish it. Even the Krishna book actually is a phenomenal book. You will see when you study carefully that Srila Prabhupada has included the commentaries of many acharyas even in the Krishna book, not just in the commentaries of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as it happens, Srila Prabhupada didn't live long enough to complete the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He covered just a portion of it. So imagine if he hadn't written the Krishna book before, we would have lost out something so valuable. So in any case, now the devotees in Vrindavan were very anxious what to do. So they all came to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that you must write about Mahaprabhu's later pastimes. Otherwise what will happen? These pastimes will be lost. Nobody will remember them after this. The later pastimes of Mahaprabhu from his Ankya Leela had actually been recorded by Mahaprabhu's intimate associate in Puri, Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar had recorded these in his notes, which are called karchas. And he made Raghunath Das Goswami, who was at that time living in Puri, memorize these diaries. There were no photocopying machines in those days. But because these devotees were so pure and so exalted, and also that those times were much purer than the present times now, people had much sharper memories, and Raghunath Das Goswami actually memorized all the diaries of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Just imagine. All the verses that he had composed about Mahaprabhu's later pastimes in Jagannath Puri were all memorized by Raghunath Das Goswami. Finally, when Raghunath Das Goswami came to Vrindavan, he resided at Radha Kund. And every day he would speak for 2 or 3 hours minimum on the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was also living there at Radha Kund. And he would hear every day the discourses of Raghunath Das Goswami. And he would remember these discourses. And based on what Raghunath Das Goswami had spoken, he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which contained essentially the later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kaviraj Goswami mentions many times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that I am an offender at the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur because he is the authorized speaker of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just as Vyasadeva is the authorized person to write about Krishna's pastimes, it is Vrindavan Das Thakur who is the incarnation of Vyasadeva, who is actually the authorized person to write about the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So who am I, what right and what qualification do I have to write about these pastimes? I cannot imitate Vrindavan Das Thakur. That would be a great offense. Neither can I repeat what he has said. I am simply trying to chew the remnants of what is left behind by this exalted soul, Vrindavan Das. Because Vrindavan Das could not write about the later pastimes of the Lord, I will write about those pastimes that were not much explained by him. And as far as the earlier pastimes of the Lord, since Vrindavan Das has already explained them in detail, I will only touch upon them in brief. So in this way, we find that here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is mostly the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Puri Leela, in his Madhya and Antya Leela. The Adi Leela contains a lot of philosophy. It also contains a synopsis of the Madhya and the Antya Leelas, of Mahaprabhu's Leela in his childhood, in his boyhood, in his early youth, and in his youth. One chapter devoted to each, and then the Madhya and the Antya Leela begin. When the Vaishnavas actually urged Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita, very reluctantly he agreed, feeling himself completely unqualified for the task. And one day he went to get the blessings of Madan Mohan, the deity of Sanatan Goswami. And all the Vaishnavas had assembled there. And they were all looking for some indication that Madan Mohan wanted Kaviraj Goswami to go ahead with this project, of this most difficult project of writing all the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. At that time when Kaviraj Goswami came and offered his obeisances to Madan Mohan and he offered his heartfelt prayers, at that time the garland from the neck of Madan Mohan fell down. And there was a shout of joy from the assembled devotees there. Everybody understood that this was an indication that Madan Mohan had actually blessed Kaviraj Goswami and given him his permission to go ahead and write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami never actually forgot it. And again and again in his composition here he mentioned that actually I am not writing this book. This book is actually written by Madan Mohan himself, by the Supreme Lord. He has written this through me. He is like a puppeteer and I am like a puppet. He has made me write. So whatever I have written is actually his writing. The credit goes to him. This is the consciousness and the mentality of the great acharyas. They never take credit for themselves, for anything that even they may have done themselves. And of course we should know that in all these great endeavors, they were tremendously empowered by the Lord. Similarly, Baladeva Vidya Bhushan, when he wrote his commentary on the Vedanta Sutra called the Sri Bhashya, the Govinda Bhashya, I beg your pardon, he titled this after Govinda Dev from Jaipur, because it was Govinda Dev who Baladev said actually wrote this book, narrated this book. Then Baladev simply did the physical action of writing, but the actual composition was Govinda Dev's. So similarly here with Madan Mohan and Kaviraj Goswami. So Kaviraj Goswami, in all humility, with all devotion, accepted the blessings of Madan Mohan and began to write. He was already a very old man at that time. So let us see what Kaviraj Goswami says himself about Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sometimes it is full of Sanskrit verses, and maybe some people may have told him that, you know, your book is so much full of philosophy, it's so full of Sanskrit, you know, we can't understand it, you know, you should have made it simpler. So in response to this, Kaviraj Goswami has the following to say. I will omit reading the verses because of shortage of time and read only the translations. This is from Madhya Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 2, text 84 onwards. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the topmost of jewels. They have been kept in the storehouse of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who has explained them to Raghunath Das Goswami, who has repeated them to me. Whatever little I have heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, I have described in this book, which is presented to all devotees. If one says that Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of Sanskrit verses and therefore not understandable by a common man, I reply that what I have described are the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that for me to satisfy everyone is not possible. In this Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is no contradictory conclusion, nor is anyone else's opinion accepted. I have written this book to describe the simple substance as I have heard it from superiors. If I become involved in someone's likes and dislikes, I cannot possibly write the simple truth. This is an important point. The Vaishnava Acharya is not interested in pandering to the tastes of people. Absolute truth is not a matter of vox populi. You know what is vox populi? Majority opinion. The absolute truth is not a matter of what is decided in an election. It's not a matter of votes and what the common man says or the pulse of the people and so on. The truth is what it is. So uncompromisingly, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, I'm sorry, I cannot please everybody. I just have to speak the simple truth. I cannot be so much concerned about the likes and dislikes of everybody when I'm composing a work like this, which contains the absolute truth. Then he goes on, if one does not understand in the beginning, but continues to hear again and again, the wonderful effects of Lord Chaitanya's pastime will bring love for Krishna. Gradually one will come to understand the loving affairs between Krishna and the gopis and other associates of Vrindavan. Everyone is advised to continue to hear over and over again in order to greatly benefit. In other words, what Kaviraj Goswami is saying is, even if you don't understand my book, read it. Keep reading it again and again and over again. Especially some of the philosophical parts are really very difficult to understand. And sometimes some of the descriptions of the pastimes of Radha Krishna are so esoteric, so exalted, that those also one cannot understand. But here is his advice. Just read this Chaitanya Charitamrita. He goes on again to say, in reply to those critics who say that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of Sanskrit verses, it can be said that Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of Sanskrit verses, as are the commentaries of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nonetheless, Srimad Bhagavatam can be understood by everyone, as well as by advanced devotees who study the Sanskrit commentaries. Why then will people not understand the Chaitanya Charitamrita? There are only a few Sanskrit verses, and these have been explained in the Bengali vernacular. What is the difficulty in understanding? So obviously there must have been some kind of objections coming in from various quarters. Otherwise, why would Kaviraj Goswami go at length to explain this point so much? I have already given a synopsis of all the facts and figures of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's last pastimes, and I have a desire to describe them elaborately. If I remain longer and am fortunate enough to receive the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I shall try to describe them again, more elaborately. And then he says, please note this verse, I have now become too old and disturbed by invalidity. While I write, my hands tremble. I cannot remember anything, nor can I see or hear properly. Still I write, and this is a great wonder. Isn't it a great wonder? He could not practically see, he was not able to hear properly, he was not able to write properly, he was not able to remember properly by his own admission, but still he wrote a phenomenal book like the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which contains the highest philosophy. Even the conclusions of the Srimad Bhagavatam are revealed to a higher degree in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said if all the books in the world were to be destroyed and only the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita were remaining, it would not be a loss. And of the two, if even the Srimad Bhagavatam was not there any longer, but only the Chaitanya Charitamrita was there, even that would not be a loss, because the Chaitanya Charitamrita contains everything that the Srimad Bhagavatam has and more. So this is the kind of book that is written by a person who could not see, who could not hear, who could not remember, who could not write, whose body was racked with invalidity and old age. Such is the empowerment that is possible for great acharyas. And in case someone may doubt, if someone doubts that, well, he did write such a thing, but how do we know that everything that he has spoken in Chaitanya Charitamrita is authentic? So there is a wonderful pastime that happened here which I would like to narrate. This pertains to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He was studying the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and in the Madhya Leela, I forget the chapter, somewhere in the Madhya Leela, he came across Kaviraj Goswami's description of Krishna as the king of moons. He mentions that Krishna's toenails and his fingernails are like moons, so that's 20 moons. His face is like another beautiful moon, that's 21. He says his two shining cheeks, they're like two more moons, that's 23. The sandalwood spot on his forehead is another full moon, that's 24. And his forehead is like half a moon, so that's 24 and a half full moons. That is Krishna. And then Kaviraj Goswami says that the Kama Gayatri Mantra, those devotees who have the second initiation, that's the last mantra that you chant. So the Kama Gayatri Mantra is also non-different from Krishna. In fact, Kaviraj Goswami says that Kama Gayatri Mantra is Krishna. And he says that the Kama Gayatri Mantra's 24 and a half syllables corresponds to the 24 and a half moons of Krishna. So when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was studying this, he was not able to understand how the Kama Gayatri Mantra had 24 and a half syllables. He had never heard of this half syllable thing. He said it should have been 25 syllables. So why has Kaviraj Goswami said here 24 and a half syllables? And he tried and tried to understand, he read through various books and he thought about it deeply, but he could not figure it out. In great anxiety and desperation, he resolved to go to the bank of the Radhakund and give up his life, because he could not understand this. Why has Kaviraj Goswami mentioned 24 and a half syllables for the Kama Gayatri Mantra? And as he was sitting on the banks of the Radhakund in the deep, in the middle of the night, he somehow fell into a light slumber. And at that time, Srimati Radharani appeared to him in a dream. And she said that, my dear Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, please do not think that Kaviraj Goswami is an ordinary person. He is a Manjari, my assistant. And Gaura Ganodesh Deepika says that he is in Krishna Leela Ratnarekha Manjari, or some say he is Kasturi Manjari. So Radharani personally told Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in this dream that Kaviraj Goswami is my very eternal and intimate associate in Goloka Vrindavan, and he has pleased me very greatly by his service there. So please do not doubt his word. Every word, every syllable that he has spoken in Chaitanya Charitamrita is correct. And if you want to check it out, you check this book called Varnagama Bhasvat. And there you will see a certain rule of grammar that is mentioned there. That when a word ends in year and the next word begins with V, then that is considered half a syllable. So then the next morning, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur consulted the book, and yes, there was that rule there. And Radharani personally had come in to verify or to state the authenticity, to authorize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or to authorize Kaviraj Goswami's book. This is the glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that personally authorized by Radharani herself. And this book was written by a person who was in his old age, could not see, could not hear properly, could not write properly. His bodily functions were not there going on properly, but still he wrote this great exalted work. There is much more to say. Of course, Kaviraj Goswami is a Manjari there. He has come here especially to give us this Chaitanya Charitamrita. Such a great contribution to the world at large. Without Chaitanya Charitamrita, we would not have known so much about Mahaprabhu's teachings. Some of the earlier pastimes we could have learned from Chaitanya Bhagavat and to some degree from Chaitanya Mangal of Lochandas Thakur. And maybe Chaitanya Charita of Murari Gupta, which is in verse form. But there is no book to compare with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Incomparable in terms of philosophy, in terms of pastimes. All the truths are explained here by Kaviraj Goswami. It is here that on this day, in the Shukla Dwadashi Tithi of the month of Ashwin, that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami departed. It is said that his samadhis actually are there in Radha Kund and Radha Damodar Mandir also. He lived at Shyam Kund at the Manas Pavan Ghat, which is a place of Srimati Radharani's midday bath. He lived there, meditated there, wrote his books there, and now even now if you go to Radha Kund, you will find his quarters there where he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita, his bhajan kutir and so on. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo, Hare Krishna. Are there any comments or questions? Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.